AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Can the Democratic governor of a southern state be reelected in today's political environment? We'll find out today.
I'm Jim Crisula. Kentucky Democratic Governor Andy Beshear is seeking a second term, facing off against a former law firm partner, Republican Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron, in one of the nation's most closely watched off-year elections. Cameron has criticized Beshear's pandemic restrictions, while Beshear has accused his challenger of trying to stoke divisions with an emphasis on transgender and social issues.
Police have seized more than 220 pounds of drugs from a home in Lynn, Massachusetts, some of which were shaped like Valentine's Day candy, says the acting U.S. Attorney for Massachusetts, Joshua Levy.
9.2 kilos of fentanyl that's made to be designed to look like candy.
After testifying at a civil fraud trial in New York City yesterday, Donald Trump said the case never should have gone to trial.
People are sick and tired of what's happening. This is a sad... I think it's a very sad day for America.
New York Attorney General Letitia James dismissed what she calls Trump's distractions.
Justice will prevail, and it's important that all of you understand that we have already been victorious in our motion for summary judgment.
In fact, the judge has already ruled that Trump lied to banks and investors about his net worth and property values. As Israeli forces push closer to Gaza City, CBS's Robert Berger says an estimated 300,000 people there are caught in the middle.
Palestinians are really trapped in between Israel moving in from the north and the Egyptians not wanting to allow an exodus to the south. There has been Israeli airstrikes as well on that area. And the situation, according to the UN, is approaching a humanitarian catastrophe.
Now CBS's Matt Piper has the tragic story of a small-town mayor whose private life was exposed online.
Bubba Copeland was a married father of three, not only mayor of Smith's Station, Alabama, but also a pastor. Last Wednesday, the conservative blog 1819 published photos of the 49-year-old wearing women's clothes, posting social media accounts of his that said he was transitioning. On Friday, Copeland took his own life. He said this about his small town in March.
Our number one problem is suicide. And it's sad.
Matt Piper, CBS News.
New research finds emergency departments treated twice as many children for firearms-related injuries during the pandemic. The researchers looked at firearm incidents from 2017 through 2022 at 9 urban hospitals in the U.S. They found pediatric deaths increased from 3% to 6% during the pandemic. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
A lot of schools talk about training the cybersecurity workforce of the future, but do they really deliver? My Computer Career has been supplying the IT workforce with thousands of skilled, certified pros for 15 years. Train with the experts in support, networking, or cybersecurity and start your career in months, not years. Upskill even faster. On campus or live online, qualified students may get financial aid, including the GI Bill. My Computer Career. Accredited, acclaimed, effective. Take the free career evaluation at mycomputercareer.edu.
It's pro time at Lowe's. Get big savings and rewards during Provember. Right now, buy one exclusive DeWalt 20-volt Max XR Power Detect 2-Tool Combo Kit. Get one select Power Detect Bear Tool free. That's up to a $249 value. And there's more. Save $200 on a DeWalt 12-inch dual bevel sliding miter saw. Because Lowe's knows tools, Lowe's knows pros. Valid through 11/22. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough. But if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 37 overnight under cloudy skies, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. 45 tomorrow, overcast. Scattered rain showers likely. Tomorrow night, 35, cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 42.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes. And so it goes. And so it goes. And so it goes. But where it's going, no one.
In for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, Monday, November 6th. Greg Bach in studio with me. Calvin is on the board and joining us. Delighted to see you. It's been a while. You have been on the show before. Welcome, Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. Good morning. How are you?
Well, hello, Jane. It's so good to be here. I am great. And please send my regards to Kristen as a new mom. I totally get it as a mom of a 3.5-year-old.
Oh, you have a 3.5-year-old. Oh, so you're busy, busy, busy too.
Still doesn't want to sleep, you know, wants to hang out all the time. And it's fun. But, you know, these are things that we're dealing with. In fact, I'm surprised he hasn't heard that I'm talking about him and running away. Hi, everybody. I mean, he's sometimes more gregarious about these things than I am.
Oh, that's so great. Well, you have been busy and you're putting on some miles, aren't you?
Yes, one of the things that became very clear when I got into this role as Secretary of State was there's a lot of mis and disinformation about this role. And so
we've got
to, I know, shocker. So we are committed to traveling the state talking about the office. And, you know, I will tell you guys, when I walked into this office, I thought that it was going to be in a lot better position than when I walked into the state treasurer's office. I mean, as you guys might have heard, when I walked into the treasurer's office, there were wires hanging down from the ceiling. They cut off my Wi-Fi and they literally gave me a pay-as-you-go flip phone as a way to talk to constituents because it was clear the Republicans were like, who needs checks and balances? Let's do whatever we can. And it's very, like, it really reminds me of where I was 4 years ago with as many of the attacks and what they've done in setting up barriers for this office and not only a check and balance, but best serving the people of Wisconsin.
So you say you walked into the office with the expectations and then you saw the reality, which is disinformation and misinformation. What are some of the biggest hurdles you had to overcome in the opening days of your time there, like coming at you, like people just coming at you with their thoughts on the position?
Yeah, well, for starters, I mean, when it was announced that I was going to be appointed Secretary of State after Doug had been there since 1971, which is a long time.
Yeah.
And he was the longest serving Secretary of State in our nation's history.
Wow.
And so it took everybody, I think, for surprise. I mean, including myself. I mean, the governor asked me to step into this role on a Wednesday. And I immediately, of course, said, yes. I mean, when the governor, you're sitting right across the room from him and he's asking you to serve, you say, yes, I'm honored, which I totally was.
Yeah.
I just expected I would have a little bit more time to prepare for this. And when I followed up and I said, Governor, I'm honored. that you have thought of me for this role. I'm like, how much time do I have to like put together my PowerPoints and like do all my research? And he's like, what are you doing on Friday? And I'm like, wait, this Friday? And he's like, yeah, 48 hours Friday. And I'm like, I guess I'm serving as Secretary of State. And he's like, right answer, Sarah. So then quickly fast forward to on Friday morning, I get a knock on the door and my, you know, 3-year-old's running around and it is someone there to swear me in. And I thought it was going to be a bit more of a ceremony. I would have more time. So I took the oath of office in my Packer pajamas, which I don't think it could have been any more Wisconsin, candidly, than that.
I think if someone would have handed you like an old fashioned afterwards. Right. Oh, good job, Secretary. That's a good swearing in. That's a good swearing in.
I know. And, you know, to cap it all off, my husband's still like, what's going on here? Like, I did not comprehend. So you guys can imagine after all of this happening very quickly, when the announcement was made, something with the mis and disinformation has been, oh, you know, this has been something Sarah's been planning. It's the big conspiracy theory. You know, I dropped out of the Senate race for this like glorious Secretary of State role that's in the basement.
It's so sexy. And, it's so sexy.
You know, yeah. Oh, man. I mean, why would you want to be a U.S. Senator when you can be Secretary of State? You know, I mean, it's just kind of so. We were, you know, dealing with that on the onset that this has been something that we've been planning when it couldn't be further from reality when I'm just trying to figure out what this office does and just transition my life back. You know, I was in the private sector for 4 great months and then I'm back in the public sector again. So, you know.
Well, you talk about, you know, it's definitely the perfect description of hit the ground running. So how do you put together an agenda at that point? You were talking about PowerPoints. So you're like, you get in on a Friday, you find where the coffee is, and now you're like, all right, let's get going. What's the process?
Well, and that's just it, Greg. You know, with all of the partisanship and bickering going on, at the end of the day, Wisconsinites just want their elected officials to do their job. Yep,
that would be nice.
You know, they just want them to like get to work. And so for me, I'm like, I just am not going to engage. And I'm going to put my head down and really start figuring out what should and could this role do for the people of Wisconsin. And so it was everything from, you know, boring stuff and reading state statutes. But then what's fascinating is I'm reading these state statutes and then I'm finding out we have federal responsibilities that aren't captured in state statute that, you know, working with the State Department or things when it comes to like, you know, we keep the Electoral College or we validate and witness the presidential election. So it's like there's these different federal statutes that weren't captured in the state. And so it was kind of putting all of this together to make sure we were actually doing our job for the people of Wisconsin.
We're speaking with the Wisconsin Secretary of State, Sarah Godlewski, talking about some of the excitement, the challenges, and now you brought up elections. If you are even having your head down in the sand, you know that elections are a huge deal in this state and every state. We're 1 year away from the presidential election. What is it going to be for you to help make sure that, you know, we have very safe elections, and it's been stated there before. I guess what I'm saying is for the state elections with this whole misinformation, disinformation thing happening, how are you going to protect our elections from those types of things in your time there?
So Wisconsin is one of, like, I think it's 10 states that the Secretary of State does not administer elections.
Oh, okay.
So we do not administer elections here in Wisconsin. It was where we are now is the Wisconsin Election Commission, which was what Scott Walker designed,
right,
where we have 3 Republicans and 3 Democrats, and then a woman named Megan Wolf, who is overseeing all of this. But one of our unique connections is we are supposed to be working with all 1,850 clerks. And I will tell you guys, when I travel and talk to some of these clerks, like the attacks that they are hearing, like are experiencing hands-on, is just horrifying. And these are public servants that got into the job because they believe in making a difference, but they're getting all this pressure where if they don't believe into the like ultra mega kind of conspiracy theory, that then, you know, like they're just not going to see the end of it. And so I think something that we've been working really hard on is how do we help build capacity with our clerks? And also at the same time, how are we working to address this mis and disinformation? Because it's so critical as we look at the important roles that all 1,850 play across our state.
Well, and I can only imagine in some of these smaller communities for these clerks, they know everybody in town. And yep. The damage that this disinformation has done to relationships and friendships. And as you said, people who are acting as election officials aren't doing this either because it's such a sexy job. It's, right. You know, and I can't imagine it's that great of a paying job either. It's probably pretty average. So the people who actually want to do this job, I would have to think are doing it for the right reasons.
Oh, 100%. They are these great public servants that are, you know, elections isn't the only thing that they do. They're doing everything from like record keeping to marriage licenses to all sorts of different vital records that we need for our communities. And so it's really important, and we're losing them. We're not able to find replacements. And so this is something that is really important to the fabric of operations with government and honestly the fabric of our democracy.
We only have a couple more minutes left with you, Secretary. And one of the things I wanted to touch on, when I worked in Racine for the mayor, one of the things he always talked about was economic development within the city. I know that's one of the things that you are very focused on as well. Can you speak a little bit about what you're going to be doing with regard to that?
Yeah. So one of the unique responsibilities is I now chair a $1.4 billion trust fund, and that helps to finance our public schools. So we provide an annual distribution for our public schools for books and technology. And we also do financing across the state. We help finance local community projects, and we've done that to the tail of tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions. But my colleagues across the country, these other secretaries of state, have used their international responsibilities to advocate for their state. So think about buy Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And they've been doing like buy Delaware. And so we know that there are so many opportunities to be advocating for our great, you know, workers and our great industries, whether we think about timber to ginseng to healthcare. I mean, there is so much that we can be doing. And so we really look forward to helping to be a part of that ecosystem, because the more people advocating for this, the better.
And I'm just curious, do you actually have a decent working cell phone now and like lights in your office?
So the question is no, we still don't. And this is why we're being scrappy. And like, honestly, we're modernizing the office, and we've got a lot more coming on. But yes, we still don't have that quite yet, but stay tuned.
Well, maybe one day. Maybe one day.
Dream big, Secretary. Dream big.
It's been wonderful having you here. She is Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. Thank you so much for carving us a little time for us today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Have a great day. Stay with us. When we come back, we're talking a little bit about turkey. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
These fires in Alberta, they're just this very narrow jet stream, just bringing all that kind of smoke down.
What it does is those sunsets and sunrises.
Yeah.
I mean, you've just got this massive deep red disc up in the sky. It's like you're in a Star Wars, you know, movie or something like that.
The Todd Alba Show.
Which makes sense when you look at the Civic Media lineup. I mean, we really look like the Cantina Bar as far as all the characters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Parents, we know we can't protect our kids from everything. Eventually, they're going to bump their heads or scrape their knees.
But we can protect them from 6 types of cancer. HPV, or human papillomavirus, is a common, preventable virus that can cause cancer later in life. The HPV vaccine prevents human papillomavirus and all the cancers it can cause. The American Cancer Society recommends getting your sons and daughters the HPV vaccine starting at age 9 to protect them later in life.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Closing time. Open all the doors.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Calvin's on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio and you. At 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Yes. All right. Thanksgiving is going to be here in just a couple of weeks.
Can't wait.
Your favorite holiday?
No, but I love it. It starts the holidays. It starts
the official season.
Yes. I just, it's so much fun. Oh, I can't wait.
Calvin, strong feelings about Thanksgiving?
I like it. It's okay, I guess. Yeah. I like to cook, so I...
Oh,
you do?
What?
Yes, actually, the last 2 years, I've made the turkey for my family's Thanksgiving.
Oh, my gosh, Calvin.
Now, does that also include, like, making stuffing?
Usually, my mom helps out with that part. I take care of the meat.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good.
Calvin, he takes care of the meat.
We're working on a nickname for you, Calvin, so that we'll keep this all in mind. As
Calviente. That's my nickname for him. Calviente.
Calviente is good.
When Calvin gets spicy about a topic, it's great to listen to.
It actually is. All right. So Thanksgiving is Thursday, November 23rd, and I have to say I am delighted by this trend that I think ultimately started, was it with COVID, when stores aren't open on Thanksgiving anymore, because I don't think they should be.
I think they should be open maybe in the morning in case you forget something.
Grocery stores.
Yeah. Are you talking about like...
I'm talking about Walmart and Target.
Yeah.
And
no, those should be closed.
The big Thanksgiving Day sales and stuff. I always felt that that was really unfair to the employees.
Yeah.
And... it was also disturbing to see how people would behave like animals trying to get something for $5 off.
Well, I mean, I used to work for a company. That has a Black Friday sale. So I like that kind of thing. Yeah. I think it could be fun, but it's also like, you got to make it like if Walmart said, hey, everybody, we're doing a Black Friday or a Thanksgiving thing. All of our employees make time and a half today. Like they walk away with something in their paychecks to work for the time because it's a holiday and they should. It just seems fair to me.
If they would get extra compensation.
Yes.
For it.
Yes.
Okay. I wouldn't have a problem with that. Calvin, what about you? What do you think about working on Thanksgiving?
I think, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but don't you have to get some sort of holiday pay on national holidays?
I mean, possible. I don't know. When it comes to places like the Walmarts and the Amazons, I don't know if they have, because I worked for Blockbuster Video. That's a very old reference for you kids out there. But I worked for Blockbuster Video, and I worked Thanksgiving, and I didn't get paid anything other than my wage.
Your regular pay.
Yes.
When I cooked at a nursing home, my holiday I preferred to work was Christmas Day. I preferred that over Christmas Eve and Thanksgiving.
Hmm.
Just because
of the way with my family gets together and whatnot, Christmas Day is the least exciting.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure. That makes sense. Well, there's a lineup in the Today's Journal Sentinel by Claire Reed just about what is going to be open and what is not going to be open on Thanksgiving. For the fourth year in a row, all Walmart stores across the country closed on Thanksgiving Day. They will open regular hours the day before, and then they'll open early the day after for Black Friday. Mm-hmm. But Target stores nationwide will not be open on Thanksgiving Day. Starting in 2021, they announced that they would be closed on Thanksgiving Day going forward. And then some grocery stores, too, will be closed. Aldi, Costco, Metcalfe's in Tosa, and Trader Joe's. And Best Buy, Home Depot, Kohl's, and Lowe's.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if places like, you know, Target and Best Buy and Walmart close on those days. But they have... employees show up to start inventorying and prepping for the next day.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
They're closed to us, but that doesn't mean people aren't working.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
All Sendex will be open with regular hours, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. at most of their locations on Turkey Day.
Oh.
No, 7 to 9.
That's just mean.
I could see 7 to noon.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying. Is like I wasn't
you forgot cranberries and you got to go get cranberries.
Yep, exactly. But who's coming to a grocery store at 8 o'clock on? Even people who don't celebrate, even people who you're at home.
Well, and by 9 o'clock, haven't we all pretty much eaten by then?
We've eaten. Plus, I mean, it takes money. You got to pay those employees, pay to keep the lights on. How feasible is it for them to have all that energy happening
and all that staff?
I can't imagine. I imagine their sales have to plummet after like 1 o'clock.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know.
I would think so too. And then there's a couple of more that will be open on Thanksgiving Day. If you need something, Milwaukee's Fresh Thyme on mm-hmm. Pleasant Street, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's not terrible.
Yeah.
Whole food stores will have modified hours on Thanksgiving Day. And CVS and Walgreens pharmacies will be open on Turkey Day. But you want to check with your local store if there's something that you need.
I don't think Walgreens ever closes.
But their pharmacies are having problems with staff.
Actually, we were talking about this morning on the Pat Kreitlow show. Is like I went in to get my, I got my COVID and my flu vaccination
yesterday.
Good
for you.
Thank you. I'm a hero. And I had to wait over two other people. Like it was such a wait to get my vaccine. Nothing against them. I'm not complaining at all. I got my vaccination. It's good to go. Fine. Cool dandy. But I had to wait a while. And my guess is because they were probably short staffed.
And I think that this is a statewide issue, again, much like childcare and healthcare and everything else.
Yeah.
They're getting burned out.
Yeah.
And I thought there was some talk of a potential walkout.
Yes. I don't know if it was Walgreens, but like, yeah, there was. No, I believe it is Walgreens. Yeah, because a unionizing type of thing, because they're constantly complaining to upper management about the fact that they are so short staffed all the time.
Well, now they even close for lunch hours.
Yep. Yep.
Which they should.
Yeah. So half an hour, and they get a half an hour. It's not like they're taking an hour-long break.
Right. Be nice to your pharmacy people.
Be nice to all your employees. It builds morale. It builds, you know, builds trust and those kinds of things. I don't know. I don't understand it. Like, I get angry. I get mad. I get mad, Jane.
don't go down the mad path, Greg.
I won't go down the mad path.
Don't go down the mad path. Again, I think this is a good trend. I'm glad to see that a lot of companies are at least giving their employees one day off, and it doesn't have to be just all about collecting more stuff.
Well, that's what I want to know is how many of them are closed versus how many of them don't have employees in the building. That's a huge difference.
It is a huge difference. Yeah. As you said, the Good Friday sales will still go on.
The Good Friday sales?
Or the Good Friday sales, the Black Friday sales.
Those are great Friday sales.
I did it once with a girlfriend of mine. And we got up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I swore I would never do it again.
When I worked for Lakefront Brewery, I worked them Black Friday 2 years in a row, and I got there like 5:30. It goes fast. It goes by very, very fast.
I suppose it does.
And people start waiting there around 7 o'clock on Thanksgiving night, and it's hundreds of people show up.
Wow.
And I'm going to be in Indiana this year. Yeah, me.
All right. Well, stay with us coming up. We turned our clocks back over the weekend.
And we're still here.
And we are still here. There's an unexpected correlation, though, between turning the clocks back and something else. And we'll have all the details when we return. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Some other beginnings.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowner's insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is the safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes. And Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed. And we feel it and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Wildcats at Camp Randall Stadium. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle. We're out there.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 37 overnight under cloudy skies, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. 45 tomorrow, overcast. Scattered rain showers likely. Tomorrow night, 35, cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 42.
One night while driving home, I stopped to use a roadside phone to call my wife and tell her I was headed back. When somewhere out of that mist and fog came a big deer running from a pack of dogs, and that deer ran right into the side of my Cadillac. Well, it cracked like thunder when
welcome to Asgo's Wisconsin. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bride, Calvin on the board, Greg Bach with me in studio, and you at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Hearty!
If you would like to join the conversation, you can text and or call. Where did you find that, Calvin? I'm jealous that I never stumbled on that myself.
I searched songs about hitting deer. And this was the first one that came up.
Isn't it remarkable what you can find? Everything is out there. There's a song about everything.
The internet is beautiful.
It is a beautiful thing. All right, there's an article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Andrew Hahn. And I'm sure people who are listening to some of our stations further up north, like Eau Claire, Wisconsin Rapids, Amory, Hayward, La Crosse, probably have a lot more encounters with deer than we do around here.
I just saw one the other day.
You do?
Scared the bejeebus out of me.
I bet. Oh. More drivers collide with deer on Wisconsin roads in the early weeks of November than at any other time of the year, and it is because of the end of daylight saving time. Again, according to this article by Mr. Hahn, the clock reset on the first Sunday in November likely contributes to an annual increase in deer crashes because setting the clock back an hour almost perfectly aligns rush hour with dusk, which is when deer are particularly active. And this is the middle of breeding season for white-tailed deer. So there's lots of action going on.
Yeah, there is. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. On average, I had no idea we had this many 16,000 deer collisions in Wisconsin every year.
A year?
16,000.
Have you ever hit a deer?
No.
Oh, my gosh. It's terrifying.
I'm sure it is.
We hit one on the way home from a family vacation when I was little. I was asleep. And then I was not asleep, and the car was no longer moving because we had hit the deer, and the deer had busted the front of the car off.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just, the car started again. I don't know how, because we got home. But yeah, we hit the deer, and the car just stopped dead in its tracks because the deer is huge.
This was before cell phones.
Oh, yeah. We got out of the car. My dad checked the front of the car. The grill of the car fell off. There was some smoke coming out of it, but he could still drive it.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was...
limped along.
Yeah, that's not fun at all.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. I'm just curious about what your encounter with a deer has been like. A very good friend of mine, this is a number of years ago, big motorcycle rider.
Yeah.
And he had a friend on the girl on the back, and they're driving along in Franklin, and a deer literally jumped onto the motorcycle. And he went skidding out. It was a really bad motorcycle accident. She managed to jump off and wasn't as seriously hurt, but... The deer basically knocked him off his bike.
Oh, okay, I see. All right, I thought you meant like somehow the deer had. I don't mean to laugh because if they got hurt, that's terrible. But just the vision in my head of a deer just like jumping onto a motorcycle, like get your motor running.
That would be the most Wisconsin thing.
Yeah, right. That is the most Wisconsin thing ever.
Yes, a deer driving a Harley. Yeah, more drivers and passengers are injured in November than in any other month. In November of last year, an average 100 drivers collided with deer each day. Each day.
I mean, it's...
That blows my mind.
I'm surprised we don't see more about this on television, more PSAs and whatnot. You know what I mean? Like, if it's such a problem, you think we'd all know that, period. Like, it'd be common knowledge that these accidents happen in such great volume.
In such large numbers. And yeah. Again, I'm assuming that people who live further north in the northern and northwestern and northeastern counties, probably they're like, yeah, this doesn't surprise me at all.
This is a Tuesday.
Yeah, it's just a regular Tuesday, and you got to be careful. And I always thought, too, the one thing to keep in mind was there's never just one. Right?
It's like box elder bugs.
But if you see a deer cross the road... Damn. You need to assume that there are several others.
You should always assume that there's one around the same area, especially like, you know, like little baby deer is crossing the path with their mamas. I mean, it's just, oh.
Yeah.
I saw a deer. I've had two deer sightings in like a month now. There was one in Kenosha. I got off the freeway and there was just a deer, like 6-point buck, just galloping down the road next to me along the property line of the building.
Seriously.
And honestly, it was scaring me because I was doing like 35, 40 coming up on the speed limit. It was pacing me. And I'm like, All it takes is one moment for that deer to be like, well, I want to be over there now.
Yes.
And that's it. So, like, I just let my foot come off the brake or the gas.
And let him. Let
oh,
him.
Yeah. Yep. He disappeared. But also, I was just like, I'm not. I'll lose. Oh. I will lose.
Yes. Absolutely. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Rob from Port Edwards. Good morning, Rob. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi there. I'm calling from Bug Tussle Nowhere, and we are keister deep at deer. But truthfully, I had it much worse when I lived on Green Lake here. I moved up here a couple of years back. The amount of deer per square mile is astronomical. It's in the high 80s to low 90s. And what really, the reason for my call is, why in the wide world of sports are the folks that are, quote, hunters and sportsmen rabble-rousing to have more deer? We get rid of all the wolves. The Indians are terrible. The, you know, this, that, the other thing. I mean, there's a cost to this. I've hit 17 or 18 deer in my life, totaled out two vehicles. I can tell you, my Forerunner, just like in World War II where they had the X's, you know, for the kills in the side of the window,
right,
on the sill of the cockpit. Yeah, yeah, that's my Forerunner.
Oh.
It's just crazy. So I do not understand it. Where's the sportsman aspect? We have plenty of deer. Maybe thin the herd a little bit. Maybe take your time, shoot a little more accurately. Everybody's, you know, going to be okay, and you're not going to risk killing your kids or yourself. Lord knows, you know, the poor animals getting it. That's my problem. And
that's a really interesting point, though, Rob. So, I never considered that, actually. And I did see something else earlier this morning that they expect that fewer deer will be harvested during this upcoming gun deer season. I'm not quite sure why that is, but good. I can't imagine hitting 17 deer over the course of your life. That's just terrifying.
It's probably since I moved back from Iowa. I left and lived in Iowa for about 2.5 years. And when I came back, I think I was the poster child at the mail post office for the deer, because after that point, that was in like 2000. Honest to Pete, at least once or twice a year for many years. Most recent was last fall. That I hit a deer with my Forerunner.
Oh my gosh.
And it's getting old.
Yeah, I bet.
I mean, like, stop it, deer. Just leave me alone.
Well, maybe they're just after you, Rob. They just want you. No, I'm joking, but I'm really sincerely glad.
I stopped driving brown Jeeps because they were fawn brown. They don't care. They're colorblind.
Go with orange. Maybe that would help. Thank you so much for calling, Rob. Be careful.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Out there.
Bye-bye.
Be careful on the roads. 844-967-2789. Talking about this article in the Journal Sentinel, that the number of deer vehicle crashes just skyrockets with the end of daylight saving time. And we're looking for your experiences with this. We have Mark, our friend from the SAC. Good morning, Mark.
I don't know. I don't know if it's so much the switch to daylight savings time. It's just that there's going to be deer collisions anyway this time of year. You know, maybe you kind of adjust people's schedule where they're going to be out driving. But, I mean, from personal experience, because I've had a few of them in my driving career, and you just got to watch out for the little rascals because they're all over the place. And you never know when you're going to run into them, because even in suburban areas now there's deer running around. And this is some years ago. This is over 50 years ago. My Aunt Peggy, she actually hit a moose with her station wagon, and it ended up kind of in the back seat, you know, that... She wasn't seriously hurt, but I mean that was something to experience for her.
Good heavens, moose!
Moose
are terrifying.
Yeah, they're big.
They're huge.
They're like mutant deers.
Yes! Wow, she hit a moose and survived. That's amazing. Thank you for calling, Mark. Be careful out there. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. What has been your experience with our deer population?
We had a couple of texts coming through here. The 612, Lynn, said, as a teen, my small car, quote-unquote, tripped a deer, which rolled over the roof and ran, ? Likely with a broken leg. Worst thing was I could smell burning hair for over 3 months.
Oh.
Another one coming in from the 608. There's no way they're going to let you know how many deer we really have. Then that might interrupt their hunting season of wolves.
Mm.
Well, thank you.
Okay. We have Tom from Grafton on the line. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for joining the show.
Howdy. Well, I've had 5 collisions so far in my life. There's a couple of reasons why there's so many, though. One is CWD, chronic wasting disease. That's made it so a lot of people do not hunt deer anymore.
Oh.
Another reason is the cost, because it's not cheap to, take 3 or 4 or 5 days off a week to go do that. And another big reason, too, is a lot of landowners will not let people on their land who they do not know. And that's really a big problem. In my view, there should be a law that for a few days that you would have a right to hunt their land, as long as you'd let them know. But it's obviously not that way. But honestly, there's a lot of deer down here in the southern part of the state, too, because of all the agriculture with all the corn and stuff.
Sure.
When you've got corn, you've got deer. And actually, there's less up north way up in the woods than there used to be because of the wolves. But I mean, we're not lacking for deer. But CWD is a big reason why people don't hunt deer anymore.
Yeah.
That's a really good point, Tom. That's a really good point. Thank you so much for calling, and be careful. Yeah, that's because I'm not from a hunting family, and that's not something that
we
ever did. It just wasn't top of mind, but I can certainly see, chronic wasting disease. That's frightening.
And also makes sense what he was saying about the cost, too, because when I was a kid, you had your rifle, you had some camouflage. Blaze orange wasn't even really a thing at that point when I was little.
You would go out in camouflage.
Well, I didn't. I don't come from a hunting family. But then very soon, as I got older, blaze orange was introduced. And now it's like, guns aren't cheap. Ammo isn't cheap.
Right.
Transportation. And as he said, deer stands aren't cheap. If you want one of those, you got to take 3, 4, 5 days off of work. Yeah. I mean, it's I'm sure there are people who do it every year, pass it down from parent to child, but it's it almost seems like a luxury now.
Well, and as Tom said too, if you don't have a friendship or a relationship with someone who has a property where there are a large number of deer, then where do you go?
Exactly.
You can't just go take your shotgun willy-nilly anywhere.
Well, that doesn't sound like the America I grew up in.
Gavin, what about you? Did you come from a hunting family?
My dad deer hunted a little bit. He maybe shot like 3 deer while I was around. Yeah, he's kind of lost interest in himself. Not something we're big into.
Well, and again, it's a combination of lots of different things. And just a good reminder, according to this article in today's Journal Sentinel, to keep your eyes open, folks.
Yeah.
Because the next couple of weeks, it's going to be a little bit hairy. And we don't want you to be one of the 16,000 accidents we have on a yearly basis.
That I come in through back of like Waukesha County, New Berlin area, mm-hmm. Coffee mm-hmm. Road and
sure.
Racine Avenue. And those areas are just, there's no light there. It's nothing.
Dark,
and I come in at like 4:30. I'm on that road by 4:30 in the morning. It's still dark.
You got to be careful.
Got to be alert.
All right. Stay with us. You are going to want to hear this story related to John Oliver from Last Week Tonight and the city of Manitowoc. We have all the details coming up. Stick around. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Somebody get on out here quick. Be sure to bring your gun. I got hound dogs sniffing at my heels and zombies wrecking my coupe de ville. Help, give me the police. Thank God for 911. 911. I tell you one thing, from now on.
Teachers, learners, schools, and communities have never faced more challenges than they do in 2023. Is education a matter of national security? Major elections, artificial intelligence, educator shortages, these issues have serious implications. Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci break it down every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. for you and your neighbor. Busted Pencils on the Civic Media Network.
Find previous shows and more at civicmedia.us.
Don't search through the phone book for hours looking for help. Don't waste time being transferred from department to department looking for answers. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, simply dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Free and confidential information and referral is available throughout Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 and get connected and get answers.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Morning, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin on the board, and you can join us 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text. We were just kicking around an article in today's Journal Sentinel about the number of deer vehicle crashes we have in the state by Andrew Hahn. It's like 16,000 a year. And we have a couple of texts that I just wanted to get to real quickly. From the 541, in 2000, I just bought my pickup driving home in the dark. The deer watched the car in front of me pass it, then waited, and then jumped across the road, except now I was there. It broke the radiator hood, destroyed the front right quarter panel, deployed the airbag, bent the frame, $6,000 in damage. Truck was repaired, and I kept it until 2014. Another one, I've been hit by a deer twice from the 608. Yep, you read that right. I once had a deer pace me on a back road up north.
So fast.
It was pacing me, and then it cut right, ran right in front of my car. Yep. Took out the light, bent the hood, slid to the roof, kicked scratches on the roof, pooped on the roof, pulled forward. It fell off the side. It took out the passenger mirror, kicked the door. It was an absolute mess.
We got another one just came in from Mark from the SAC 608. Sitting in a tree stand is a fine and pleasant misery. I hunt way up north, Douglas County, and hang a little wire bird feeder next to me up in the tree and have chickadees and nuthatches visiting me all day long.
That's really cool.
That's cute.
And we were talking off the air about this with someone else, and I'm blanking on the name right now. But Johnny Watermelon, our own Johnny Watermelon, who is a hunter.
Yep.
And he has said the same thing. It's worth it just to go out into the woods and look at all the critters.
Yeah.
Even if you don't bag a deer, he said, it's just so relaxing.
Yeah.
Reinvigorating.
I have such a curiosity of hunting, specifically deer, because growing up, a lot of my friends had dads and they went deer hunting and we just didn't do that. My dad was not a hunter at all. And I still have that curiosity. I will never do it at this point. That's long gone, but there's just that thing of like, all right, we're getting in the car. We're driving up north. We're going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Don't say a word for 9 hours. Good luck.
I like Mark's. I would go hang with Mark. I love the idea of hanging up a bird feeder and being able to interact with nature in that kind of way. I just think is a really healthy thing.
We got one last text. This is not from regarding deer. This is from early in the show when we were talking to Todd Alba about Mike Johnson.
Oh, Mike Johnson.
Speaker of the House, Laura from Wisconsin Rapids writes, as a former evangelical whose ex-husband had covenant eyes, it doesn't actually help. There's so many ways around it.
Covenant Eyes is an app where you can basically spy on people, your spouse, your children, whatever, to find out if they're watching naughty things.
Joint and consensual spying.
It is, yes. Joint consensual spying. All right, we're going to move on. John Oliver from Last Week Tonight, and I didn't watch it. I will watch it today, but his team is so brilliant. Mm-hmm. It really is, and they cover many serious things, and then there are the other things that they cover, which are not quite so serious. So New Zealand is holding a Bird of the Century competition. Yes.
It's real early in the century to make that decision.
Normally, it's New Zealand's Bird of the Year, but now they're looking to crown the Bird of the Century. So John Oliver and his team did some delving into this competition. There have been findings of voter fraud and attempted fraud. In 2015, 2017, and 2020, there was also an uproar, Greg, when a bat won in 2021. Or the disqualification of a cockapoo after winning twice in 2008 and then 2020 to keep the spotlight on lesser known birds.
Wait, a cockapoo is a bird?
A cockapoo?
I thought that was a dog. Like a cockatiel and a cocka. I should finish that sentence or just
it's K-A-K-A-P-O.
Weird. Okay, cockapoo. Okay.
Cockapoo. Yeah. I assume. So he thinks that that's just wrong. You shouldn't be able to be, you know, be disqualified just because you've won so many times. We don't do that with the Oscars. But
okay, true.
This is John Oliver. This is John Oliver. So they have decided that they are going to support the Australian crusted greeby or the putaketake. Putaketake.
We're really excited to
putaketake.
This bird is great. It should be the bird of the century.
He says the name is fun to say. They're known for carrying their babies on their backs and doing a mating dance, quote, where they both grab a clump of wet grass and chest bump each other before standing around unsure of what to do next. I've never identified with anything more in my entire life.
It sounds like two dudes who just can't share their feelings with each other.
So they have started, John Oliver's, Last Week Tonight, they have started putting up movie parody posters for Lord of the Wings.
Oh, my God.
They've got billboards up now in India, Japan, France, Brazil,
and
Manitowoc. Is that not the greatest thing you've ever heard of?
I absolutely love that so much. He's such a joy.
He is. Now I want to go to Manitowoc just so I can see the billboard.
Well, I mean, there's something else you want to watch with this show, though, I will say. You want to watch this show and be on the lookout for a friend of this show.
That's right.
A friend of this network.
That we just found out about.
Yep. A friend of this network. A friend of this show. They're on a lot of shows. Watch yesterday evening's edition of Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Yes.
And you will see our friend. And it's going to be, I can't wait. I haven't seen it yet. I just found out this morning.
As soon as I get home, I'm going to watch it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Someone you have heard on this very program.
Yeah. And someone I adore.
We all do. But anyway, yes, highly suggest you go to Last Week Tonight. It's on HBO Max. Embrace the push for the Putaketake's crowning as the Lord of the Wings. And well done, Manitowoc. I have to say, I'm jealous.
That's, you made some rarefied air, Manitowoc.
Absolutely. All right, stay tuned. Coming up next, we have the news is coming your way. After that, it will be the Todd Alba Show, a very, very fine program airing from noon to 2 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Tomorrow is Tuesday. That means that Dan Schaefer will be here.
Can't wait.
We will get recombobulated.
Wish him a belated birthday. Yesterday was his birthday.
I did see that on Twitter. Absolutely. And then we're going to talk about the GDP. And someone who knows what it is, who's going to explain it to me like I'm in fifth grade, because that's how I feel about the GDP.
Awesome. I have questions as well.
All right. That's all coming up. Stick around. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Everyday people begin.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
The morning show on WFHR. It's informative.
Have neither of you been on sleigh rides before?
Yeah, never. No. I've never been on.
Really? Mm-hmm. I've been on like dozens. Oh my gosh.
We gotta do it.
I don't even like winter.
What kind of life are you living, Seth?
He was way up in the, he was in the, like really.
Northern Minnesota, yeah. I mean, come on.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.